praise His name. Thank you, Lord. And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit into your hearts. Did He send it into your heart?
Amen.
Amen. Numbers, if you have your Bibles tonight, chapter 14. I'm glad we're not preaching in a barn, because I'm sure all the walls be burned up. Might have a little bit of a barn burner tonight. Like last Wednesday wasn't bad enough, but y'all praying for me? Amen. Brother Josiah will be here next Sunday, so I don't have to announce that later. Or this Sunday, sorry, this coming Sunday. I do have a testimony posted, not from Brother Ernie, but from a, I'm thinking Pentecost. I know he's a denominational minister that he had witnessed to, and he's converted and preaching the message now. So, praise the Lord. You know, there's, Jesus said it. He said that the fields are white. They need harvested, but pray for laborers. And I began to realize that we tend to blame, you know, society for why we can't seem to find souls a lot of times, or just too hard, or if preacher so-and-so would do it. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, where are the laborers? Where are those who will give an effort, who care? And I said, God, help me to be the laborer I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
And whatever part you have for me, let me be found faithful, you know. That's why I think Jesus had to say that. We got to pray for that. Because you can find churchgoers, you can find preachers, but where's the laborers? Where's those that put their heart into it? So I'm trusting I'm in a company of people that do that tonight. And if we're not, God correct us. Isn't that right? Numbers 14, right after Kadesh Barnea. If you want to just, let's just go to verse 36. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto the children, all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up unto the top of the mountain and saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt on that hill, and smote them, and discomforted them, even unto Hormah. I'd like to preach tonight. The original has returned still, but I'll make sure I say this right. One day late, faith. Can I say that again? Faith that's one day late. Let's bow our heads together. We come through to Him now. You respect the God, the presence that's here in this building now. Are you looking for man, or you say, God, I came expecting to hear from you? That's why we bow our heads. That's why we close our eyes. It's not a religious thing. It's to put our eyes somewhere else, the eye of faith in our hearts on Him that we love. And if you have a desire tonight, would you raise that up to Him and say, Lord, you know my heart. I want to serve you. Help me tonight, I pray. Pray together. Heavenly Father, my hands raised as well. Lord, we come hungering for your word, Father, in a land, in a place that doesn't have the word anywhere, as we go day in and day out. It's just a famine, Lord. Everybody's searching, everybody's looking for satisfaction, Lord, and they can't find it. How grateful we are that you've shown us, Lord, you've given us revelation of where that living water is, and that we don't have to go thirsty. We don't have to go hungry, because we're blessed that we hunger and thirst. And we've got a revelation that we are hungry and thirsty. And we come, Lord, to be filled once again by your word, knowing that yesterday's manna don't do us any good. Our experience from this morning doesn't do any good now. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would come and break all the yokes of the enemy in this place. Every person under the sound of my voice, may it be under the sound of your voice as you take this gift in my life and push me aside and speak to your people, Lord. Feed these souls. that are hungering for you. Give them the word, God, that they can be the Christians that you predestinated them to be. And may every stronghold of the enemy come down tonight. Heal the sick, Lord. Restore the backslidden. Comfort those that are distressed. And may you reign in this service, we pray. For those that wanted to be here tonight and just simply couldn't make it for whatever reason of the enemy, we pray, Father, you'd meet that person and bless them, Lord God, and give them strength, Lord, for another day of battle. We love one another, Lord. The body is one. Even as you're one, Lord, we can't go on without each other. I pray you gel us together in the Word of God. Bring us one step closer to that great, glorious day when you'll come and you'll take us home. Let us be prepared, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it, and we believe. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you, Lord. Y'all didn't have to go and leave now. Just look around. You had about half church just walk out right there. But I guess I scared you off before I even got started, but that's okay. You know, I'm beginning to realize, even as a minister, and I've said things like this before, but I believe in just being honest. I think too many times we've got fronts that we like to put up. You might do it on the job. You might do it at home. You might do it in church. You might do it with some, you know, business thing that you're doing. You put on a front, and within a certain frame, that's, you know, we ought to do those things. I shouldn't treat Brother Kent like I do my wife, all right? There's a difference there. But when it's all broke down, we need to just be honest and just truthful. And when Satan tries to tell us that a little white lie don't matter and that we can fudge this over and things, you know, we kind of get that used car salesman attitude where I ain't telling you a lie per se, but yet, you know, it ain't all the truth. God help us, because it's such a world now where you're like, well, it's not really a lie, but you got the Holy Ghost. The world will tell you it's just fine, but you've got the Holy Ghost, Christian friend, and you're to live by the judgment of one person. It's Jesus Christ. Everyone else's opinion doesn't matter. So what I'm trying to get at, I guess, is as we preach, a lot of times we get our ideas, even as men, of what should be and what could happen. But I mean, you know, when we break it all down, we've got to come back to what the Word of God said. There would be a bride without spot or wrinkle. That God would send Elijah to bring the bride of Christ back to where she was before the foundation of the world. And that is what the message was sent to do. It wasn't sent to find millions. Are you hearing me now? It wasn't sent to find big revivals and thousands here and thousands there. It was made to find every single part of the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is found one soul at a time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's my heart's desire. God, I don't care if there's five people in this place. May all five know that if the coming of the Lord is here, they're going.
Amen.
That's where I'm at anymore. It doesn't matter. We've got too much half belief. We've got too much expectation without realization. Are you hearing me now?
Yeah.
Something that'll happen tomorrow. It's too late tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today, don't harden your hearts, but believe God's word. Amen. We're here in the book of Numbers now. Hallelujah. And God was not making a mistake. God knew exactly what was going on. God didn't just lead people out to die. He led His elect out. He knew. He chose them all. Hallelujah. God help us tonight. What got you to this message? Now, if you feel something good, go ahead and praise the Lord, all right? I think sometimes we get too religious about it. It's you and Jesus Christ right now, and He is worthy. When we are out there in Egypt, walking along in slime pits like everybody else, didn't know no different, all of a sudden a voice came and said, "Let my people go."
Amen.
And that wasn't Moses saying that. That was the Lord God. And if you get your eyes too fixed on Moses, you'll start murmuring. You'll start complaining. You'll get to where they got here in this situation, where there's the promised land. God has fulfilled His word, brought 10 plagues. Come on now. But led us right to the promised land. Didn't waste no time. He just left out one detail that they didn't like. There's giants in the land. And that one thing took away all that faith that they had built up. Why? Because it's either all faith or you really have all doubt. If I can get you to question one thing that I'm saying, it doesn't matter what I fluff it up with, you don't believe a thing that's coming out of my mouth no more. Isn't that right? That should help us as Christians to realize that, you know, when God convicts us, even in the littlest thing, you better make that thing right, because it's not your testimony on the line. It's the gospel's. Amen. Do you identify as a Christian? Do you tonight? Do you identify yourself as a believer in God's Word? Well, then I'm here to tell you, you're His representative. You shall be my witnesses. And whether we're a good one or we're a bad one, we're still His witnesses, because He's given us the Holy Ghost. We're a part of His body, and we are His agent in this age. You can't put it even on Brother Branham. Brother Branham is in glory where, you know what I'm saying, he's weighing. But the Word's still here. The message lives on, because it wasn't the man. It was the Word of God restored. Amen. Don't let, you know, same thing as what they were saying here. You know, what's up with these giants in the land? And here we are. Message come. God led us right down to it. You can see it from Genesis to Revelation, that this message is the only true interpretation of the Word of God. Just meeting yesterday, had that. You know, I had a few students. We used to do things at the high school and things, and he's going to Bible school, and he came in and he said, "Are you a Calvinist?" kind of thing. I'm like, "Man, okay, here we go." And we start going on the scriptures, and he's saying, "Well, you know, you can't just blame God. You know, God, why would God make people and then just to destroy them and things?" And you don't even know what to tell them. You can't get this revelation. Why? Because you're out on the outside trying to get in. You're too afraid to take the promise of God as He has given it. See, they like the promise of God now, but they don't like the way God does it. Jesus didn't just say He was the truth. He said He's the way. That means He gets to pick the way the truth comes out. He gets to pick who gets to be who. I would trade places with any of you right now and be able to sit out there and enjoy the Word of God and just have a good old time relaxing, enjoying the Word, and I'm enjoying it too, don't worry. But there's a pressure when you're a preacher. Yes, there is. There's a couple days that, you know, you don't really live a week like Monday through Sunday. You live countdown to church. Get done Sunday, you know what, I get two. Because on Monday, I got one day. Tuesday, no days. Here we go. And then you get done preaching Wednesday and you feel all good. And then you realize, nope, three now. Wake up Thursday, I got two. Friday, I got one. But see, God has called me to do that. I believe that. I believe you believe that as well. God has called you to sit there. Right. Yes, sir. That's right. And if more people would walk in that calling, I think the bride of Christ would be a lot further down the road. But what was the problem? Everybody wanted to be Moses. Everybody wanted to say the way it was supposed to be, but God did not allow that. When Dathan and Korah decided they had a good idea, God proved they didn't. And the earth swallowed them up. Hallelujah. And everybody believed right after that. That's what we're getting at. One day late faith. The day after, it's too late. All of a sudden, everybody's got faith to believe. But if the door's shut, there's no mercy left. And that's what I'm getting at here in this scripture that we're talking about. And this hits time and time again. People always try to believe. I could get on believing too early too, but we'll get to that maybe at the end. I don't know. But they always can believe too late. They can always look back and say, "Oh my, that's the Word. That's glorious." But if you didn't believe it when it was happening, it's no good in recognizing it now, because you're still an unbeliever. That's right. See, the believer's put to the test for a reason, to prove whether he really believes or not. And here came the children of Israel. God had provided everything that they had need of. He fed them manna from heaven. He clothed them. Oh my, wouldn't you be happy to have clothes that you could wear 40 years and they're still just as good? And you know, I remember just reading that, not thinking a whole lot about it until I got old enough to had to buy my own stuff. That stuff don't last 40 years. I ain't had a shirt last me 4 years, and all it did was sit in a closet and I wore it once a week. How in the world? What's wrong with it? They don't last that long. It was a miracle. God is faithful to His Word. He's faithful to His people. But His people came up to where it was go time for the promise. As long as the promise was over there, they could just say, "Whoa, man, that's going to be glorious. That's going to be great. That's going to be wonderful." But then it became today. And they began to realize that all their carnal thoughts about it weren't just quite right. That there were giants over there. That there were going to be spies who came back and said, you know, it's going to be kind of tough, boys. I don't know if we can do this. You know, when we ate those cucumbers and things out in the world, you know, when we watched TV and, you know, we told a little dirty joke, didn't have to feel condemned about it, could just miss church and not pay tithes and just be mad at my neighbor and just, you know, and have bad feelings and gossip about people and just, you know, just ignore that one preacher who calls me out all the time and just go to this other guy who thinks a whole lot of me because, you know, I go to his house and I'm his buddy. And he's got a good influence on a lot of big men. Oh, come on now. Don't act dumb. Don't look at me like that. God's proven who's the elect and not. And you can only be a hypocrite so long. Because why? Everything produces after its kind. So whatever you are has to produce eventually. You can mask it. You can hide it. You can try to hybrid it and everything you want. You try to fit in. One day when it becomes manifesting time, you will be like these spies. It's too hard. We can't do it no more. And what do we begin to do? They begin to use like the fluff of grace. I'm sorry, this is grace. The Bible's grace. You come out here, there's no grace out here. You either walk in the Word or you're not in grace anymore. There was no excuse when they came up and they trembled and they said, no, it's too hard, it's too hard. And they came to Moses and said, we just can't do it. And remember, it wasn't the big shots. It was Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Who's that? I don't know, but... You know, Jephunneh the Kenzite, that's not even a tribe of Israel. What's up with this guy? And he gets up and says, shut up! I got a message today. The prophet told us we can do it. And I believe him. See, he had on-time faith. He had giant-slaying faith. Not giant-slaying 10 years from now. Today, I will take your head off. That's the difference, isn't it? But look, his message was not received. But he was right. His message followed the word that God had already given. Yet he had no converts. Woo, buddy. That's what I'm saying. Even as a minister, we sometimes get our judgment line kind of blurred a little bit. I'm not saying off, but blurred. If I was really doing this, wouldn't this person be overcoming like they should? But see, God don't work that way. The individual has to believe and apply and live the word themselves.
Amen.
You can preach it till you're blue in the face, but well, I'll say this, if you don't preach it, then yeah, you're in trouble, boy. But if you give the people the word of God, God is obligated to get that person right.
Amen.
They came, they woke up the next morning and began to feel condemned.
Sure.
Began to say, you know what, boys, man, I just don't feel right about this. So let's go try it again. So they went to the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord said, don't go. And you know what happened? In their attempt to obey the word, they disobeyed it again. Why? That's the way one day late faith works. It's always pointing to a promise that's gone. Are you hearing me now? They looked at it and they said, you know what? It was the word. And I'm just going to cut a little bit now. When the rapture's done happen and they don't really recognize who's gone, they'll say, you know what? That message is right. You know what? Brother Branham was right about that. They'll find an artifact and say, you know what? That's exactly what happened. But it's too late. Jesus said, blessed are, you know, he told Thomas, you know, you see and believe. That wasn't to be an example. That was a rebuke to Thomas. Now, he was still elect. Praise God. And I hope that's the grace to us. It's just like David. He knew better. He went and killed that man and committed adultery. But when the word came, he said, I'm sorry.
Yes, amen.
And the Lord said, I already forgave you.
Oh,
so, you can fight election all you want to. It makes a difference. Actually, it is the difference.
Amen.
We all should go to hell.
Right.
Joshua and Caleb made sins. They made mistakes. But see, they believed. And God could see that faith in them. And when it came time, when the pressure was on, even though they might have stumbled and fall, when it came down to the showdown, they stayed true to the Word.
Amen.
And the bride of Christ will do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
They'll take money away. They'll take popularity away. They'll take women away and all these things of the world. Even the things that we think make churches spiritual.
Uh-huh.
And all be left is you and the Word.
Amen.
Stay there.
Yes, sir. Oh, hallelujah.
If God be for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
Even my own reason, even my own thoughts, they don't mean anything. I'm sure Caleb had the thought, man, that guy is kind of big, isn't he? Man, I'm not that good with the sling yet. I might need to practice a little bit. But then he said, wake up, boy. What'd the prophet say? What prophet? The one that said that it would rain hail, and it did. The one that said there'd be flies, and there were. The one that said there'd be frogs everywhere. And then, not only that, but when there wouldn't be frogs. And it was.
Exactly right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they got up, and this is just verse 41. They said, we're repenting. But you can see they didn't have faith, because if they had faith, they would have responded to what the Word said in that day.
Uh-huh.
See, that's what I'm trying to get at with David earlier when I talked about when he made his mistake. The Word of the Lord came and forgave him, but said, you'll have the sword in your house the rest of your days. David didn't fight that. He said, amen.
Right.
He obeyed the Word the best he could at that point.
Right.
We can put ourselves in permissive situations that God did not desire. But and maybe some of those will last the rest of our life. The point is, if you're the bride, you'll line up to whatever the Word is.
Amen.
Whatever it is for you. And here was Moses. He says, "What? Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord?
Uh-huh.
Don't go up there.
Right.
It's too late, boys. You're going to have to settle for this second-handed promise."
That's right.
And you know what that is in our day. Don't act dumb. They're going to have to go through tribulation.
Right.
They'll say, well, no, I believe. I'm going to the rapture, and I got it now. And then the earthquake will happen. How many seen what they're coming out with? I thought they had good depictions. Now, what's that? What's the fault line? San Andreas, they're making a movie about it. And my goodness, what in the world? That should stir us like no other. And yet, too many times, just click the next link, right? Just keep on scrolling. Why? We're getting too desensitized. Don't live for tomorrow. They might not get here. Don't live for 10 minutes from now. Right now, even as I'm speaking the Word, are you right with God? Are you in fellowship with the Spirit? You got a critical devil on you? Are you backslidden heart? You need to take care of it now.
Amen.
If you don't, tomorrow might not get here, and there's no guarantee the promise is still around. God chooses the times, not us.
Amen.
Told you it's going to be burning some barns, but as long as it's sin barns, let it burn. Because even that's why the Bible said fire is a revealer.
Yeah.
If it's wood, stay in Hubble or whatever, it'll burn it up. But if there's gold, don't do nothing. All it does is make it moldable into whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I say, Lord, burn me to just glue or a puddle of gold that you can put in the mold of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let me come out just like Him.
Amen.
I ain't talking 99%. If it's 99%, burn me again, Lord.
Amen.
Get all the dross out, because it'll crack somewhere.
Yes, sir.
But if it's pure, you can't stop it.
Amen.
Let's turn to Acts 26. Got quite a few scriptures. Can we read them tonight?
Yep.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 26, 24. I probably could have went before this, but we'll get back to there. Paul, he's testifying, he's under trial for his testimony, and he explains the visitation from Jesus Christ, and that he wasn't disobedient to the vision that God had given him.
Right.
And in the end of his defense, he gets to this point. This is when I believe Festus replies him. And he said, thus, and he thus spake for himself. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest.
Yes.
And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Why is that? He'd be a Christian tomorrow, but not today. One day late, faith. I hate to break to anybody's hopes, but I believe when we cross the ribbon veil, King Agrippa will not be there. Why? The Bible limits, and I'm just following the Spirit. I was going to get to it later. We'll just do it now. The Bible limits salvation to a certain day. Today. Harden not your hearts. I'm sure Festus was stressed out from his work. I'm sure he was tired of dealing with this Paul. I don't remember if it's this one or the other one. No, it's the other man. I'll get to that in a little bit. But he was convinced that he even says, you know, I could even let you go, Paul. But you appealed to Caesar because Paul knew better. Paul wasn't reasoning. Paul followed what the Spirit said, and the Spirit fulfilled the word exactly. I must go to Rome. And he said, I appealed to Caesar. And we would have said, Paul, why didn't you just hear it out first? You might have went free. But see, the Word only does what the Word says, even if the person themselves doesn't even know they're doing it. Why? Because you're not supposed to have your mind. Paul didn't need his mind. Much learning made me mad. Sure, I lost my mind, Paul could have said, but I've got a new one.
Amen.
I've got the mind of Christ, and I've learned to just do what that says. And that told me to appeal to Caesar before I even heard you say anything.
Amen.
And he stood there, and he wasn't afraid of his testimony.
Amen.
Oh my, we're afraid sometimes it costs us our job or something. This would have cost him his life.
Yes.
And he didn't whitewash it. He said exactly what happened. I met the Son of God.
Amen.
Woo! He's not dead.
No, he's not.
You think he is? You can say all you want to. That's what got him in trouble. He started preaching the resurrection.
Uh-huh.
Getting the Pharisees and Sadducees to go have their doctrinal debate, and we could do the same with predestination and free will, and all. They'll go get them, and they'll go fight out there, and we'll just walk in the truth, because God ain't dealing on that level. Don't make yourself an intellectual believer. Don't believe as much as you can grasp in your mind. You get it in the heart.
Amen.
You believe God. You got to fall in love with Him.
Amen.
You've got to meet Him.
Hallelujah.
I know Brother Branham says a man shouldn't step into the pulpit until he's met God face to face on the backside of the desert, but I believe every Christian has to get to that point.
Amen.
Where they know in whom they have believed. And they're persuaded He's able to keep them. Why? They know God limited it a certain day, but they weren't asking any more. They were fine and content with believing today.
Amen.
Glory
yes,
to God. No, there's no almost persuaded. You might as well not even have heard it in the first place. That's Jesus' own words. Isn't that right? It would have been better for them to not even know the way of truth than to hear it and not walk in it. Hallelujah. Maybe that wasn't exactly Jesus, but I believe He's the Word anyways. And I know that's in the Bible. Hallelujah. Acts 24. This is when He's before Felix. Thank you, Lord. Paul again. Acts 24. That's right. 24:24. Got three 24s and 26s on. I'll get it. Acts 24:24, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Now see, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a means to an end that we're trying to get to. Paul wasn't just fanciling his intellect. He was trying to get him to the truth. Amen. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Judgment to come. Felix trembled.
Why?
He began to believe it. Today. See, tomorrow judgment, don't bother nobody.
Right.
Judgment after you're dead, don't bother nobody. As long as you're going to make it to heaven anyways, judgment don't bother nobody. But when you realize judgment's here today, and Paul began to explain, yes, if you don't receive Jesus Christ, as I have in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's some water out here we can get baptized in Jesus Christ's name. If you refuse this, there is judgment to come in which there is no mercy. And he told that right to the president's face. Not a lick afraid. Why? Paul knew in whom he had believed. He didn't just get the Holy Ghost one day. He kept it today. You hear me now? You don't need the Holy Ghost yesterday. You need Him today. You don't need it an hour ago. You need it now. Amen. And if you don't have it now, you won't have joy. You won't have peace. You won't have nothing. But if you do.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. See, let's just leave that for a minute. How about today faith? You know what today faith does? It takes doubt and makes it believe.
Amen.
It takes death and makes it alive. It takes condemnation and it turns it into a big, bloody love affair. Yeah, we need that blood. Brother Andrew needs that blood. I don't need to get out of it. God, let me soak myself in it.
Amen.
I'm worthless as a man. I don't do nothing right.
Sure.
I don't have a good mind. It's trash.
Amen.
Thank God for this blood.
Hallelujah.
That's still here. How do you know? The Holy Spirit is the life that was in the blood. And if that life is in me, even when I do wrong and that voice is speaking, and it won't let me go to sleep even though I know nobody else knows about it.
Amen.
You think I'm just dramatizing? I'm telling you the truth.
Sure.
This stuff happens to preachers too. You sit there and you think, well, what am my congregation going to think? What's this person going to think when they find out I'm a pastor? And then I think, what do they just think about? They just know I'm a Christian. And that's what I just got done saying earlier. That should be our heart's desire. God, if I am, you're going to make mistakes. Don't get to that point where you think you're never going to. You're going to. The point is, what do you do about it?
Amen.
What do you do about it? It's one thing to even say sorry. That's a good step. That is, absolutely. Most people can't even do that no more.
Sure.
They'll say, well, you know, it was bad, but you know, I kind of had to because of the... No, not the Christian. He says, I'm sorry. And he does what Jesus said, bring forth some fruit, meat of repentance. Not because somebody's begging you, not because some pastor beat you over the head about it. Something on the inside says, I got to do something about this. I got to do something about this. If, like he said, if you stole, go give him four times, like Cornelius did. You know, he said, if I've done any man wrong in something, I restore him fourfold. And you know what? That daughter brought the Holy Ghost to the house. See, I'm not talking a works gospel, but if your word ain't producing the word, you ain't got the word.
Amen.
You might have the little L in there. You might just have the world still. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Faith today. How many believes today?
Amen.
How many says, thank God I don't have a day late faith? Now, there are some severe consequences to this. The world will tell you that's not a big deal. As long as you believe in your heart, you know, that Jesus saves them, yeah, that's fine. But the Bible says you can't even believe it in your heart unless you got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So you don't get to say whether you believe it in your heart. God will testify if you believe it in your heart because He'll give you the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And that takes all that and just crumbles it right apart and He brings it right back to the grace of God, don't it? Amen. Hallelujah. There are severe consequences for this. It's just right there in the children of Israel, it cost them everything. It cost all their lives to wait one day. Look, that's the rapture that we're on. Our faith has to be activated all the time. Why? He says, in a day you don't think.
Right.
So don't think about it because that's... Don't do it to me either, all right? Maybe I got it figured out. Maybe I know what it is. And then somebody goes spatting it off. I said, man, now it ain't going to be that day.
Right.
He said, no man knows the day. Kept that in my heart. I didn't want to. But that's the thing. God is, I believe He's even waiting it out because He's proven a point.
Amen.
There's only going to be the bride left.
Amen.
There's only going to be the bride left. It's a squeeze. This is going on now.
Right.
Why? Because the pressure's on.
Amen.
Are you going to believe? Well, what's the signs of it? You know, they're taking everything that was a sign away, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
They're telling you why the cloud wasn't a sign. They're telling you why the pillar of fire wasn't a sign. They're telling you where the discernment was wrong and all these things. It ain't a lick of truth to any of it. God already testified to it because God won't bless a lie. Listen, Nicodemus had enough revelation. No man could do these things unless God was with him. I understand that they can show signs and wonders and things like that. But you know, you can get into Benny Hinn's ministry and find the darkness right away, okay? You don't find that in this message. No, you don't. You search out this man, you'll find a man of character. You'll find a man who got up and said that I lied. That God let me sweat it out. That God let me have a pity party. You know, where do you see other men doing that? Why? They're trying to be God-like without having a man part. Like they never had to get redeemed. Oh no, I need redemption. And it's not done yet because I'm still in this cursed body of death.
Amen.
Just preaching today. I hope the word is hitting the word in your soul today. Severe consequences to wait in the daylight. Matthew 25. I'll just read you all familiar with this right at the beginning. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Why? 5 of them had the mind of Christ that could figure this out. 5 of them did not.
Right.
But they had everything else. Come on now. They were foolish. Or they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. When did they really apply what they said they believed? One day too late. Did they believe it? Well, to an extent. Did they think it was truth? Yes, they did. Were they convinced in a logical manner that he was the bridegroom? Of course. Why did they respond to the call? Many people believe this to be God's word. A lot of people believe this to be God's word. A lot of people, you read them a scripture and they at least put weight behind it. But to get to where they act upon it, it's a whole different story. I've shown water baptism to many souls and they've never been able to fight it after you just show them 4 or 5 scriptures. Well, how should you get this to work? And they just stare at you.
Right.
And they say, "Well, you make a good point. Well, then why aren't you getting baptized in Jesus' name?"
Sure.
Because there's no revelation behind it. There are these foolish virgins. Now, we can fight about foolish virgin, loss, tribulation, be saved at the end. I understand that. I believe that. There is a foolish virgin. Right. There's those that are going to make it and be part of the kingdom outside the city. I believe that with all my heart. But there's plenty more that are going to say they believe this and won't even make that. It's the same thing in Matthew 7. I'm just going to quote this. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." This was so bad when they tried to apply what they thought they believed in their own way, which is the only way you can miss it is you try to put the promise of God off or you put it in a day gone by. The Christian lives in the promise. Why? Because there's no eternal thing outside of the present. Are you hearing me now? That's how you know you're walking as a Christian. You're living as a Christian in the present. Not in the past, not in the future. Not on what you did yesterday, good or bad.
Amen.
Not what you're going to do tomorrow, good or bad. What are you doing right now?
Amen.
Are you in love with God right now?
Right.
Are you here to worship God right now?
Amen.
Are you here to say amen to the word when it comes in there and it begins to discern your life and show you where you had half-hearted belief? Come on now. Where it shows you that you're waiting for some promise to happen when it's all upon us right now. We have shown that from the message that everything that was promised to happen is here.
Amen.
There's nothing else. Brother Branham said there's nothing else hindering the coming besides the readiness of the church.
Amen.
Why? There's still a few. Hopefully it ends tonight. There's still a few who are still waiting for tomorrow's promise. They need to get in it today.
Amen.
Do you know Judas believed one day late? The son of perdition himself. Matthew 27, he says, while the morning was come. It's Matthew 27. All the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to it." And at that point, I'm here to say, Judas had made the greatest mistake a man ever made. He had the right attitude to this point of what he needed to do about it. He brought fruit, meat of repentance. He took that silver and he threw it back. He said, I've sinned. He didn't make any excuses. He said, I've done wrong. But what should he have done? Obeyed what the word said. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Instead, Judas couldn't get to that point. You read the next verse. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He said, I'll get mercy over there. No, you got to get it now. If he would have been a real man of God, made this crazy mistake that he did. Look, I believe the blood would atone for any man's mistake.
That's right.
He didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost yet until he decided, I don't want it. I'm not going back. I'm not gonna accept it. I can't even look at him again.
Right.
Glory to God. I hope you're getting revelation of the difference between how you and I respond to this and how Judas did.
Right.
When you do something wrong, where do you go? You see the difference? He, the one person Judas needed to talk to, he ran from. To the point where he tried to kill himself to never have to be there.
Right.
But it don't work.
Right.
He repented, but how far was his repentance? Not enough to go back to the Word.
Amen.
Oh my, how important is it to believe all the Word for yourself?
Right.
All the Word. He probably thought, I've done too much wrong. There's no, Jesus can't quite forgive this. Yet he would have.
Right.
I believe that with all my heart. I believe he would have forgave Cain if he just would have asked.
Right.
But what's the problem? Too much pride.
Yeah.
Judas, he knew I was such a great this and that. And nobody knew about what he had done besides the Pharisees.
That's right.
Besides those that he had conspired with. And maybe the disciples. But as far as, you know, worldwide, that he could have went on. But yet he was haunted by it. He knew, I'd done this thing. And it began to condemn him. And too many times, too many Christians, instead of responding to it the way they ought to, which is run to Christ, they run away.
Okay.
Now, I think many Christians, even so-called, go down and go kill themselves. Say, you know what? Just get the TV back out. Chop her off. Don't worry about the hair no more. I can't do it. And they go. You don't have to kill yourself physically. There's way worse death than that. I understand it's tough tonight, but do you believe it?
Amen.
Let's go to that scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews 3. It's a real somber time, but that's the world we live in now. I think we've got too much joking on in our world. It's like Brother Bram said, it's a kid whistling in the graveyard. Pretending he ain't scared. Except the only difference is this ain't just a graveyard where there's just spooks. There are monsters. There are devils everywhere on every side who are just waiting for God to let them do what they want to do. And just acting, no big deal. Hey, let's make a movie about the judgments of God. Isn't this funny? But they'll believe it one day after it's over. That's such a sad thing. But Christian, let's just read it. Hebrews 3, verse 6. But Christ the Son over His own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Do you hear me now? They knew the word, but they didn't believe God's way of fulfilling it.
Amen.
And that was enough for them to depart from Him. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today.
Amen.
Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice. Not if you'll hear the preacher's voice. Not if you'll even hear the prophet's voice. Not even if you heard God's voice. It has to be something that gets into you. You know that this is God. You understand the difference now? Many people have heard God's voice, but it didn't become them.
Right.
Cain heard God speak to him, but he didn't put any weight behind it. That's God.
Amen.
That's the Almighty. Judas heard Jesus said, I'm He.
Uh-huh.
And he went right up to him and kissed him on the face. The Roman soldier saw him dying up there. And then when the judgments began to shake, he said, oh, that is the Son of God.
Right.
But it was too late.
Huh?
Exhort one another. And if I've got any voice to say anything, quit disbelieving God's word.
Amen.
Don't let some phony off the internet tell you that this prophet ain't right. Come on now.
Amen.
Don't let some preacher, some backwash sissy boy, tell you that there ain't no gifts of spirit no more just because he ain't got no faith for it.
Amen.
Don't let somebody tell you the Holy Ghost changed somewhere when he's got the same power, the same deliverance, the same joy that he's always had because he's eternal.
Amen.
Don't let some preacher tell you that one day we'll have a glorious revival. Today!
Amen.
If you'll hear His voice.
Hallelujah.
Don't let somebody tell you you'll get healed next week.
No.
Today. If you'll hear His voice.
Amen.
What was the problem? Not the voice.
Amen.
The heart of the person hearing the voice.
Amen.
Because the mind is merely a womb, or a transfer, we'll put it that way, to get to the heart. That's what God's trying to do. One day late faith stays right up here. It can't get in the heart. But when faith hits the heart, it becomes present tense. You just believe. When? All the time.
Amen.
When's it going to happen? Doesn't matter to me. Because as far as I'm concerned, it already happened. And it is happening. Always be happening. Because there's no time in God's promise. It just is.
Amen.
Exhort one another daily. That means, let's talk about today's sin, okay? I understand you made a mistake 20 years ago. If it's in the blood, forget it. I understand you think you're going to do something over here and make a record. That ain't even got here yet. Quit fussing.
Uh-huh.
What about today? They'll say, well, you know, it's not a big... No, today's the big deal. There's not really in God, there's not big decisions and little decisions. Everything's either the will of God or it's not.
Right, amen.
And people get all whatever about it, but I believe we ought to walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
I believe I ought to go to a store and know what God's want me to do.
Sure.
I believe I ought to go to the job and know what He wants me to say and how to... You all understand what I'm saying? We ought to be led by the Spirit of God. Why? The Bible said we're the sons of God.
That's right.
And if we're sons of God, that means we're led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And that means we don't need faith tomorrow because we already got it today. That's what they're doing. It's really the same children of Israel that were trying to keep that manna for another day. They didn't have present tense faith. They had a faith a day off. And I say, you can be before or after. Doesn't matter. That same doubt is what made them doubt over here. Amen. But exhort one another daily. While it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, and we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And go down to verse 7 of the next chapter. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then He would not have afterwards have spoken of another day. But there remaineth therefore a rest to the children, to the people of God. Are you a person of God tonight? Are you a son of God? There remains a rest. What is the rest? That I have faith now, not tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. God, Jesus Himself said, don't have faith for tomorrow, because He knew that's not faith anyways. He said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. God always presented the gospel present tense.
Amen.
And those that could receive it, those that could say amen today, not tomorrow, but today,
amen.
Those that could apply it to their lives, today escape judgment.
Amen.
They believe the word of God. Because we know that the only thing, what hardens the heart is just your doubt. That's all it takes. We think it's, you know, you commit adultery or something, or you smoke a cigarette, you cuss or whatever. And those are all terrible things, but those are just attributes of something. They're attribute of a doubt in your heart of what God said somewhere down the line. And if you begin to see it come out of your life, Christian friend, it's time to go back to the consuming fire. And I'm here to open the door wide open to you by the grace of God. We are ministers of reconciliation. If you find yourself outside His presence, I ain't trying to condemn nobody, but the Holy Spirit's here now. I might even just pack up. We'll see. But He's here to bring us back to fellowship. What does He want us to do? Just believe Him. Don't make it no harder than that. Don't say, I can't do it. He already done did it. Don't look at no giants. There's no giants in the promise of God. It was already done. They're already dead.
Amen.
How many battles did they even have to fight anyways? If we would just let God fight our battles, we'd barely have to pick the sword up.
Amen.
You got your little part to play, but how many times did He go and confound the enemy and 180,000 killed themselves?
Uh-huh. That's right.
Just stand back like Paul and preach the word and watch the devils go fighting after themselves. That's why we got to keep our hands out of it. That's real faith. Not I got to take care of this. You know, I got to plan for faith to come later. No, today. I'm going to do what God wants me to do today. Whatever happens tomorrow, that's fine. Whatever, I don't need to worry about it. If you're worrying about what you got to do in the morning, I'm here to tell you, you ain't living in faith right now. You need to come back to faith. You're getting ahead of God.
Right.
And getting ahead of God, getting behind God, it's all bad.
Amen.
Because God is always right on time. Amen. Hallelujah. You all know this quote. I'm just going to finish on this. I think you're understanding today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh 3. Now let's listen. You all are very familiar with this. You know, at one time, after all the scriptures, Isaiah, Malachi 3 and Isaiah 40, prophesying of the coming of John the Baptist, John came just exactly in line with them scriptures. And even the disciples come to Jesus and said, why say the scribes, the scriptures, that Elias must come first come? He said, He has already come and you didn't know it. He has come and they did to Him just exactly what it was supposed to do and you didn't know it. Now that might be one of these days. You could say, what about the rapture? It's already passed and you didn't know it. There'll be two in the bed. One will be taken, one left. You know, there's about several hundred people disappear on earth every day. Anyhow, you know, they can't make out for it. And just think of it, the sadness, the people will go right on preaching and believing they're getting saved. And Noah entered into the ark, the door shut behind him with the hand of God. The sun come down and went down 7 days before anything happened. And the people went right on preaching, right on making fun and everything else, not knowing that their only mercy they ever had was closed off from them. Think, ministers will still be educating preachers. Don't you worry, that influence is in this message.
Yep.
To just teach people.
Sure.
To just educate us into it. If you ain't got revelation from the God Almighty, you are not going to make this rapture. Because otherwise, you're going to try to figure it out, and it ain't going to happen that way.
Right.
It cannot happen the way we put it together in a carnal mind. It'll be a revelation. When? Today. What day is that? It doesn't matter. Because if it's today, I'm ready.
Amen.
That's right. When's the bridegroom coming? 11th hour, 12th hour? It doesn't matter. It could be 4 in the morning. I'm still ready.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm living in the present.
Right.
Think ministers will still be educating preachers and setting them out. And things like that are going on. And just the church moving on and completely without mercy. Without anything. Cut off completely. The rapture's gone. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Scripture says that. Already come and you didn't know it. Think about that tonight, friends, and watch what's going on. There is not nothing in the world can comfort you now but the Word of God. See, there is no other hopes, your nation, nowhere else. And how much less of hopes ought we to have in this nation today? Yeah, I see more people put faith in politics than ever before.
Yeah.
I've seen more people fight back and forth about politics, even in this message about Obama and all these other things, than I ever have before. And we need to fight for this and fight for that. Look, those days are gone. Yep. There's no political agenda for us to even try. It's done. It's over. Brother Branham said, why are you even fussing about something that's totally rotten anyways? And if he could say that 50 years ago, where people at least had some sort of morality, where Watergate could actually be exposed. You all know about Watergate when the whole framing there with Richard Nixon and things tapping into stuff. And now everybody does it and they're just like, oh, whatever. No big deal. Why? That's our nation. And people are putting their hopes in that. They're putting their efforts into our Congress. What's left? What's left? And it sounds terrible, but I'm here to tell you, I'm an American too, and I would do everything we could, but it's done. The day of mercy for the nation is gone. The day of any nation in this world serving our God is over. Why? Because the Bible already said in the book of Daniel, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. The capstone, remember, the headstone came and it crushed the image. I believe that's already happened. And all we are is in the wake as if this massive system begins to crumble to the ground. So why are we putting any confidence in that? Why are we even fussing about that? You know what we'll do? We'll spend more time reading about politics and we just get down and already know tomorrow's news before it gets here. You say, you believe that? Yes, sir. The same spirit that told Brother Branham things that happened is still here today.
Amen.
And he can show us things. Actually, he told us he would show us things that come in the book of Revelation. Don't you put that promise on just the prophet?
Nope.
Don't you put on that promise on just your brother over here you think spiritual? What about you, Christian friend?
Amen.
Why is it coming so cutting? I do not know, brother, sister. I just believe the coming of the Lord is way closer than what we think.
Yeah. Come on.
It's 50 years now. I'm just talking from my heart now. It's 50 years since the prophet left the scene. Coming up here in December anyhow. How much longer can it go? What can get worse? I mean, you've got kids now that don't even have common sense. I mean, you can't even use the phrase common sense. There's no such thing. There used to be common decency. That doesn't mean a thing now. If anything, you try to be decent and hold the door open for somebody, they think you're going to steal and mug them. Why? Because we live in a nation where good is evil and evil is good. But this Word of God is still here. God is still taking us out. Don't you identify with this stuff. If God has given you the Holy Ghost, you believe. You believe today. And you keep believing all the time. Stay in the promise of God or you're choosing to walk in the influence of the devil. There's no gray areas left. I know people think there are and making up stuff and want to fuss about something like Christmas or whatever and not even paying attention that we ain't doing nothing for the kingdom.
Amen.
And God comes on the church. Like I said, I'm talking from my heart. Anything we ask, has He failed us?
Nope.
Even when we come in here burdened up because we did something stupid and just making a mess of our experience. Listen to me now. And He still comes on the scene.
Uh-huh.
Forgives us of all of our iniquities.
Uh-huh.
I didn't say sins. I said iniquities.
Uh-huh.
I said things we knew better.
Right.
He was bruised for my iniquities.
Jesus.
Past, present, future. Why? Because it was all one package deal.
Amen.
I would have closed 15 minutes ago. I hope you believe the Holy Spirit's still here talking. He came on the scene. He took our place not to give us a tomorrow salvation. Not to give us a tomorrow joy. Come on, brother. Not a tomorrow peace. Today.
Amen.
We've got it now.
Yes, amen.
When's it going to be taken? In one sense, it was never given. You always had it. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about leaving this world and just being in the eternal.
Amen.
How? Believe it.
Amen.
Can you live there now? Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, you can. You can live in the realm of eternity. You can live where your body might be aching, and all of a sudden you feel great. Why? Because you're living in a new body. Oh, the down payment that's here. Then you come back and just even breathe the way we do here is just disgusting to you compared to what it's like in the presence of God. Isn't it the same in church? Just to be around people that aren't out to get you, or your brothers and sisters, isn't just a peace in that? It's a shame that too many times we can't even feel that way in church. Because we got too many spirits getting in church now. God help us to never get that way. You love every person. When? Amen. Today. Amen. You got bad feelings, guess when you're supposed to take care of them? Amen. Today. Amen. I didn't say tomorrow, I said today. Hallelujah.
Can we stand together?
Hallelujah.
Even as your pastor, I'm putting faith in this message. God, whatever you wanted to tell us, may it hit our hearts. May it make us what we ought to be. Is that your desire, Christian friend?
Amen.
You all know how to respect God's presence. Sweetest name I know. Can we just sing that real quick? It's key of C. Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Sister, it's just His name.
For Jesus,
He didn't do another thing. I'm happy He revealed His name to me.
His name I know.
Hallelujah. Oh, with all your heart, lift your voices.
Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Plays that. You know, just a quote as it comes to my mind, Brother Branham would say, you know,
Luther said you just believe and you got it. Wesley said you shout and you got it. Pentecost said you spoke in tongues and you got it. But we proved that they didn't have it. But I also want to say this. Don't interpret it the way a lot of people do. That I just have it and I don't have to believe. On now. I just have it and I don't have to shout. I just have it and I don't have to speak in tongues. No, we're supposed to have it all. We're supposed to have everything that they had in all those ages, plus every redemptive promise that God ever gave. What else more could He give besides Himself? Not just what He did 2,000 years ago. He did that, brother, sister. If you accepted that blood in your heart, God has filled you with the Holy Ghost. You still are feeling condemnation. Look, this is between you and your Maker now. You're feeling that conviction. Don't live there. The blood is sent to keep us clean. Get back in that blood. How? How'd you do it the first time? You walked by faith. You believed God's word until He responded and proved it was true. You can't put it on a minister at that point. Can't put it on this service, or if we would have done this instead, if we would have sang that, all that's got to fade away, brother, sister. It's got to believe the word is why this happened. God said it, I believed it, He vindicated it, and now I live in it. If you need to repent of your sins, you want to raise your hands to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. No eyes looking around. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. My hands raised as well. Lord God, wash me clean. Because if we see things coming out of our lives, what does that mean? Deep down in our hearts, there's an evil heart of unbelief trying to grow. There's something trying to get in. And we gotta get that out. How? Don't harden your heart. Soften yourself, brother, sister. If you feel like you gotta cry through.
Brother Branham said, I don't believe in no dry eye confession. I believe that too. It's either from the heart or you're wasting time. And some of us mourn differently than others. I'm not saying just an outward sign, but there's going to be a response from God's end if you mean business. Praise God. I challenge your faith tonight. Hallelujah. First, on salvation, if Satan's trying to take it from you, I challenge you right now to take it back by God's promise. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive God's word. The simplicity of Him coming by. Now He said it already. Do we need hands laid on? Not tonight. We need to believe tonight. You've got to believe it. You've got to take it. Take the promise by faith. Are you sick in body, brother, sister? Tonight, I encourage you, even right now, Sister Violet's testimony, others have had it as well. We're just taking the promise right here. God fulfills His word every time. Thank you, Lord. I just feel that it's that pressure. God's trying to weed out our unbelief and say, you're my bride. You're that Gentile believer that I could go up and say, I have not found such faith. No, not in Israel. That's you, brother, sister. And God gave you the Holy Ghost to witness it to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you were identifying through this message with Festus, with Felix, come on now, with the foolish virgin, with Judas, Christian friend, don't listen to a devil's lie. Why are you here tonight? Even in this church, look how many people ain't been able to come tonight. Good reasons, bad reasons, I ain't saying nothing about that. I'm saying, but you're hearing the word. You're here listening to the word. Why are you here? If there was an excuse, I'm sure the devil tried to give it to you. Yet you're here anyways. Don't doubt God's promise. What was God trying to tell you? What He's trying to do to you, He's trying to encourage you. You don't got to wait till tomorrow. That's what the faith of devil's got. I've given you something better. I've given you something that believes now. That believes for healing. That believes for peace. That believes for joy. See, that's faith. When you begin to say it, when you begin to believe it in your heart and confess it, that's the Holy Spirit moving through you, brother. It's here in this room. Don't quench it. Don't harden your heart. Just keep getting softer and softer until your flesh just gives in and you just don't care anymore. You don't care what you look like. You don't care what anybody else is doing. You don't got nothing else to look at because you've got your eyes fixed like a flint right on Jesus. You've got a revelation that He's God. You just want Him to, you just want to have His favor. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. I'm going to pray. But honestly, I'm just going to be praying from my heart. You pray the same way. This is God challenging us as individuals. Pastor, janitor, I don't care who you are. It's time for the bride to believe the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You with all my heart. And I've just come into Your throne of grace. Rededicate myself again. Saying, Lord, we've lost vision. We've blurred our eyes with things of the world. But Father, let the blood just come wash that all away. We just give our hearts to You. I give my heart to You, Lord. May all my affections, all my desires, all that I'll ever do or say, may it be honesty. May it be truth. May it be a love for the Word of God. May it just express Jesus Christ to this world. Lord, what a mess I make of Your testimony, day in and day out. But I'm glad the word of grace has come. It says, just like You told David, I've already forgiven you. I thank You, Lord, that before I even made a mistake, You already penned my name down. You already signed it in blood. You already put Your name on the check. It had to be cashed. Thank You, Lord God, for the word. Thank You for sending us the truth in this day. That we wouldn't have to have blinders anymore, but we'd be able to get eye salve and put it on our eyes. We'd be able to find white raiment when the denominations were handing out trash. We found the pure, clean word that came in and it took cussing out of our hearts. It took drinking and smoking. It took immorality out of our sisters and covered us
with the right kind of clothes. And let our sisters grow their hair out. And let our men chop theirs off and look like men. Thank you, Lord God. We take a moment just to even remember the grace you've shown us, Lord. Let us know that your grace wasn't in vain, as Paul said, but you had a purpose in doing it. Let us today be those laborers that are looking at this white field, that are looking at those souls out there, not putting it on you, Lord. You've done your part, but taking the responsibility in our hearts that God has given me the Holy Ghost to go into that field and find a crop. Lord, let us press in the Spirit of God like never before, to believe this word with all our hearts, to rest in the promise that as we go in Jesus' name, we're doing exactly what we ought to be doing. We rededicate our hearts, us as an assembly here, every one of us, Lord, even those that ain't here. We give our hearts to you anew. While it's today, Lord, we're not hardening our hearts. We're not making excuses. We're vile creatures, Lord. But we receive your grace tonight. We receive the blood. We receive the token of the blood all over our souls. Thank you, Father God. Take preeminence in our lives now. Lord, as we feel the purifying power of the Word of God, as it washes over our souls, may it just continually push out the darkness. Lord, we know there's gifts in there that you want to use. There's abilities in there that God invested in His bride. How often we taint it with things of the world. God, we thank you that you washed us quick in that word like never before. Give us an on-time faith that when there's giants in the land, it's just another one to fall. When there's a Red Sea to cross, there's nothing to be afraid of. We'll put our feet in the water knowing that the second we get there, it'll move out of the way. Lord, I pray as we made our hearts right, the best that we know how, if we need a revelation of what to do somewhere where we don't want your gospel to get tainted, let us go that way and make those things right. Not in self-will, but may it be the will of God leading us, guiding us. And may you bring in souls that way. Lord, I remember when your prophet, he made that mistake and told his wife to say he was outside and not home when he really was. And he went and he made that thing right. And the man turned and said, "Brother Branham, I thought a lot of you, but I think you're 10 times the man now than what I thought before." Lord, humble us. Sometimes, Lord, we just need to have faith that even in our mistakes, you still ordained it. And that it'll bring glory to you if we'll commit it to you. We do that now as a collective body of faith. I believe, I'm praying the same thing everyone's heart is saying. Lord, we give it all to you. We believe, Father, that our lives are in your hands, that you're the master potter and we're the clay, and it's happening just the way you need to. That we're part of that bride of Christ, that you've sent us the message to get us ready, and we're feeding on the bleeding, bloody word of the Son of Man. Thank you, Lord, for restoring us tonight. We believe it, Father. We believe you. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. You're the love of our heart, Lord. May we have fruit like never before. Show forth that love to the world while we still have time. Let us be laborers until the door's closed. Grant it, Lord, we pray. For we ask it in that name that can't fail. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You just feel Him all around you now. Just feel that pull in your heart. So let's come up a little higher tonight. Thank you, Lord. That voice saying, don't believe tomorrow. Believe now. Don't wait for peace. I'll give it to you right now if you'll just believe me. with all the heart in your heart, little children. Oh, we live in such a cold world. My, it takes someone dying to even get a tear out of someone anymore. And that's only if they might have known him. There's no remorse for the fellow down the street no more. That's his business. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Is that your desire tonight? Jesus, let's get shut in with God. Let's sing it. Thank you, Lord. Shut.